A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite things about my church is our fifth Sunday potluck lunches. It's fun to stand on the front porch of the church and greet people as they carry casserole dishes and bowls into the parish hall. It's fun to race the other men to carry things for our oldest members. And as pastor, I have even pulled rank a time or two in order to have the honor of juggling a casserole, my robe, and the door for a beloved member. My most favorite thing is when, after the 11 o'clock worship service, I come into the crowded parish hall, echoing with happy conversation, and shout, "The Lord be with you!" and hear the joyful reply, "And also with you." Being a preacher, of course I'm drawn to the fried chicken like a moth to flame. But a Wayne's homemade banana pudding is usually the second thing on my plate. My grandfather, a wise man indeed, used to say, "Eat your dessert first. You never know when Jesus is going to come and get you, and you need your dessert before you go." Another shared meal that I love, even more than potluck lunches, is Holy Communion. At my church, we have communion every single week because it is so special. I've loved communion for a long, long time. My name is Joshua Allison. I'm the pastor of Houston Memorial United Methodist Church. And the title of this talk is The Blessing of Communion. In 2006, I was appointed as pastor to my very first church, Weedon Heights UMC, in Florence, Alabama. In my time there, I met a little girl who taught me something amazing. She was about 4 years old, and as many young children do, she loved communion Sundays. She always wanted a bigger piece of bread. She always wanted whatever was left of the loaf after the service was over. And she would smile the prettiest smile when I gave her a chunk of bread. We would have communion on the first Sunday of each month, and people took turns helping to serve. One Sunday, I asked this girl to help out. She was utterly delighted. I had found a tall stool, which I stood up in the front, and I helped her hop up onto the stool, and I handed her the bread, carefully wrapped in a cloth napkin. She would hold the loaf, and people could tear off a piece and then dip in the cup, which I held right next to her. And best of all, she could have the entire leftover loaf at the end. 10 years later, I met my own daughter, and she has grown to feel the same excitement. Stella is 3.5 years old and will not leave the communion rail until she gets a second piece of bread. She's taught her brother Henry, who is 2, to do the same. And the other kids in the congregation, the 7-year-old triplets who sit with their parents, grandmother, and great-grandparents each week, are equally thrilled. They all want a bigger piece of bread. They all want to have the leftovers after the service. And I am the one who is utterly delighted to see their joy. And like I said, we celebrate communion every Sunday at my current church. And these kids are just as enthused by the prospect of Jesus' bread now as they ever have been. To them, it is as normal as breathing. You go to church, you have communion, you get bread. And to the parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents of the congregation, the joy is audible, visible, catching. The grown-ups feel the wonder as well. How can something so simple be so amazing? In 1 Corinthians 11, St. Paul talks about the problems that he has identified in the Corinthian church regarding their celebration of the Lord's Supper. There is a little bit of history that we need in order to fully understand what is going on here. Communion has very, very ancient roots. Paul wrote this letter in about the year 54, and the practice was well established by then. At this time, the meal was just that, a full evening meal where people would bring food to share and where both poor and rich alike could be fed. That sounds a whole lot like a good old Methodist potluck. By the early 3rd century, Christian celebrations had mainly moved from Sunday evenings to Sunday mornings, and the form of communion we have now, a loaf of bread from which we all partake and a single cup from which we all drink, had become the norm. Community suppers were still held for a while after that, but had already begun dying out. So communion wasn't new or unusual to these believers, but the Corinthian church had a problem. Those who had more were bringing great wine and great bread and getting drunk and full, while refusing to share with those who had little. People were being left out instead of included. The community was divided among socioeconomic lines and in other ways as well. Today we find ourselves divided like the Corinthian church was. We are divided by socioeconomic lines, by political lines, by doctrinal lines, and more. Yet we are one in the Lord, and in the holy meal of communion we are united. This past Sunday we were unable to meet because of our bishop's wise suspension of public worship across our annual conference. My church has many members who are especially at risk if they get sick, so I recorded a worship service and shared it online on our Facebook page. I watched it and participated with it at home with my family, and after it was over, we knelt around the coffee table in our living room. My wife had set us up a small altar with a pretty silk cloth, a candle, a wooden Jesus carrying his cross, and a communion set with 4 wafers and the juice, ready and waiting. As I began the wonderful liturgy of the Great Thanksgiving, which is in the front of our United Methodist hymnal, my son Henry, 2 years old, was saying the words with me. When we got to the Lord's Prayer, both he and my daughter prayed along with my wife and I. They will grow up with the words of this liturgy that rehearses and retells the story of God's work in the world, Christ's work of love for those he came to serve, and the Spirit's work in our lives, and in the turning of bread and juice into the body and blood of our Lord. They will grow up with the bread of life and the cup of salvation as a regular fixture in their lives. The bread and wine of communion is the food we need to grow into strong believers. The body and blood of our Lord offers us God's grace. We might not always feel it, and we might not always understand it, and we might not always appreciate it, but the Holy Spirit is at work in this wonderful act, and that makes it a sacrament. It doesn't matter what you or I think of it, it matters that God is at work within it. And right now, in the national chaos of elections and sickness, in the denominational chaos of schism, and in my own chaos of shepherding a church through all these things, I find that I need grace more than ever. I'm sure we all do. I am looking forward to the day when I will gather my church together again around the Lord's table. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday or a Wednesday, in the morning or in the evening. Whatever day or time I am able to gather everyone together safely, I will do so with deep, abiding joy, because it will be a reuniting that I can't really describe. It will be a reuniting with one another, and a reuniting with Jesus, and a reuniting with the rest of the church. A reuniting with Jesus? But isn't Jesus with us everywhere? Yes, Jesus is always with us. And yet, there's something special and mysterious and holy about the body and blood of Jesus that we need. As we wait for that time, however, we need a constant reminder of our constant communion with God. Someone whom I admire, Sister Elizabeth, said something the other day that has resonated with me. When you come into my church and into many other churches around the world, one of the first things you come to is a large baptismal font. I put it right inside the sanctuary doors so that you pass right by it when you come or go. And I make sure that it always has fresh water in it. As you go by, you can dip your finger into the water and trace a cross on your forehead. You can do this to remember that you are baptized. You are marked as one of God's own. Of course, this makes us thankful. And at various times of the church year, such as at Easter and All Saints Sunday and the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, I invite the gathered congregation to remember your baptism and to be thankful. What Sister Elizabeth said was that we should, quote, ask people wherever they have a piece of bread to pause and break off a small piece and remember all the times they have received bread with their community and give thanks. Even when we cannot receive the sacrament, we can enter into the sacramental remembrance of God's grace, end quote. I loved that. Remember communion and be thankful. So the next time you eat a piece of bread, take a moment to stop and savor it. Remember the last time you took communion. Consider what it means for us to be gathered together as one around Christ's table. Think about the great joy it will be to share bread and cup with the gathered community when our unplanned fast is over and we can next gather in one place. Remember communion and be thankful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you forever and forevermore. Amen.